the beginning of Va'era. Va'edaber Elokim El Moshe, and God spoke to Moshe. Va'yomer Elav, and said to him, Ani Hashem, I am Hashem, God, the Lord, however you want to translate. Va'era El Avraham El Yitzhak V'El Yaakov B'Kel Shakai. And I appeared to Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov with the name, I think you have to put that in, with the name of Kel Shakai. Ushmi Hashem, and the name Hashem, Lo Nodati Lohem. I did not make known to them. That translation, of course, is difficult. Would imply that they didn't know Hashem. They didn't know God by the name of Hashem. So Rashi says, Lo hodati ein ksiv kan. I didn't make known to them. It's not written here. Elo lo nodati. I was not known to them. I was not known to them in this, with this name. Which means, lo nikarti lahem. I was not recognizable to them. B'mida amitis shali. Rashi says that I was not recognizable to them with this name, which implies the attribute of truthfulness, concerning which I have the name Hashem. Neman la'ames devarai. Trustworthy to keep my word, to bring it about. Sherei hevtachtim v'lo kayamti, because I made promises to them, but I didn't keep them. Well, first of all, Rashi doesn't mean to say that God was lacking in truthfulness to them. He was untruthful to them. That's not what Rashi is saying. Rashi is referring to the promises that God made to them concerning the future, which they didn't have an opportunity to experience the truthfulness, because this was something that was going to take place when they would not be around. So it would seem, the way Rashi is learning, that the names imply different aspects, so to speak. We only use that term loosely, because God does not have different aspects. God is a true unity. But in terms of God's revealing himself to us, how God allows himself to be known to us, that in terms of the way God revealed himself to the Avos, the name Kel Shakai was the appropriate one, but not Hashem. They knew the name Hashem. It's not that they didn't know it. That's what Rashi's addressing himself to. But insofar as experiencing it as a particular attribute, a midah of God, they did not experience God in the framework of the truthfulness which is connected to the name of Hashem. That's the way Rashi explains it. But of course we have to understand or see that that is the case. And what is the signification of Kel Shakai? What aspect, what attribute, what midah, so to speak, does that imply? And weren't there elements of God's characteristics, so to speak, God's midah of truthfulness, of keeping his word? Isn't the truth that they experienced elements of that? On the surface, one can ask the question, because it does seem that God made promises to the Avos, to the patriarchs, which they experienced God keeping them. For example, the one that comes to mind, the most significant one of all, would be that Sarah would have a child in a miraculous fashion, because she was past the age of childbearing. So God told Avram about that, and it came true. Also, God promised Avraham, after he engaged in the war against the coalition of the four kings and defeated them and saved his nephew Lot, then God said, "Do not worry, Anochi Magen Lach, I will shield you, I'll protect you." So God made that promise, and God kept it. So he experienced both the promise and the fulfillment. Also by Yaakov, that God promised Yaakov that he would protect them and he would be with him as he left the land and traveled to his uncle's house, and that he would bring him back to the land, all of which Yaakov experienced. So at first glance, it's not clear that they did not experience God as keeping his word with regard to specific promises. Notice Rashi on Vayedaber Elokim El Moshe, the first pasuk in Vayera. And God spoke to Moshe, so the term Elokim is used here. So Rashi says, Diber Ito Mishpat. He spoke with Moshe in a manner of judgment, justice. Al Shehiksha Vodaber Belomar Lama Harayosa Lama Zeh. Because Moshe had spoken to God, questioning, why did you deal evilly with this nation? That's another issue that stands out over here. That whole segment at the end of the first Sedra of Shemos, when the situation at first initially gets bad for the Jews. This is something that warrants our looking into. And all the commentators raise the question. Let's go back now to Shemos, chapter 5. If we go back to chapter 5, we pick up the story where Moshe returns to Egypt. His first encounter is with Aharon. He reunites with Aharon and communicates to him the message of God and the mission, as well as the signs that God had instructed him in. Then, as we're picking it up now at the end of Dalad, chapter 4, verse 29, it says that Moshe and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the Bnei Israel, of the children of Israel. And Aaron spoke. So at this point in time, Aaron was the designated spokesman. There was a concession to Moshe that Moshe had complained that he was difficult of speech, didn't have the capacity to address people. So Aaron spoke all of these words that God had said to Moshe. And he performed the signs before the people. It would appear that he performed all the signs. We don't really get any follow-up on that. The way it was presented, God seems to be saying that he's going to give him three, but not necessarily that he'll have to use all these three. That seems a bit vague, in order that they should believe. And if they don't believe to the sound, if they don't accept the message of the first two, then he'll give them the third. From that one would deduce that only as necessary. But it doesn't seem to be followed up over here. Were they all necessary? Was one sufficient? It just simply says that he performed the signs. Well, it's clear that he performed more than one sign. The signs would seem to apply to all three. What's the conclusion? In Lamed Aleph, Vayamein Ha'am, the people believed. According to the way the Rambam explains it in the Mora, it would be on both counts, that Moshe had to demonstrate for them the concept, the existence of this being, Ekya Asher Ekya, essential existence, and then the performance of the signs would be a demonstration that God had communicated to Moshe. So the people believed, and they heard. By Yishmu, they heard means that they understood, they accepted it, took it to heart, that God had remembered the Bnei Israel, and that he had seen their affliction. Vayiktu vayishtachavu. The people bowed down. Well, so far so good. Exactly as had been predicted. Now we go to chapter 5, verse 1. V'achar bo Moshe v'Aaron. After this, Moshe and Aaron came. Vayomer el Paro. And they said to Paro. This is interesting. Who, both of them spoke, or what is the meaning? Is the meaning that they conveyed, they were the ones who conveyed the message? They said to Paro, Komar Hashem, Elokei Israel. Thus says Hashem, the God of Israel, Shalach et Ami, send forth my nation, V'yachol Guli b'Midbar, and they will have a festival. As the Ebenezer says, Les Borgs Vachem. They'll serve me. The purpose was to have an opportunity to serve God, a service of God, which would entail offering sacrifices to God. On the surface, it seems like a bit of a strange kind of a request to make from the perspective of the Egyptians. Of course, what they were doing was evil, to oppress the Jews, but Moshe wasn't talking at all about that. Nothing was said about that, about the state of being enslaved, which is what you would have thought. Most people would assume that the leader, the great leader, is going to come and denounce the enslavement, the oppression. He's not saying a word about that. He's only speaking about one thing: give us an opportunity to serve our God. Now, when I say that sounds strange, okay, if that's all you want, so why is it necessary to leave? Why the Shalach Hazami? Why couldn't, if you're talking about an opportunity to serve God, and this remains constant throughout the entire encounter with Paro, it's about leaving to serve God, a journey of 3 days, whatever the case may be. But it would seem, had Moshe simply asked for an opportunity to serve God in Mitzrayim, then that would have been a different case. That wasn't the resistance. At this point in time, Paro does not accept the idea that the Jews have any right to serve God, irrelevant whether it's inside of Egypt or whether it's outside. We see this later on in chapter 8, verse 21, by the plague of Arov, which is essentially an admixture of wild animals that caused damage in Mitzrayim. So it says that Paro called to Moshe and Aaron and said, he conceded, go and sacrifice to God, to your God, in the land. So that was a concession, because now he's giving them permission to do the activity, which apparently he denied them before. However, it would have to be done inside of Egypt. Thus you see that at the very beginning, Paro was not prepared to give them permission at all, even inside of Egypt. He wasn't going to concede to them that right. And Moshe said, Lo nachon lasos kein. It's not correct to do this. Ki tov as Mitzrayim, because it is the abomination of Egypt that will sacrifice to the Lord our God. How is it possible that we will sacrifice the abomination of Egypt to their sight, and they won't stone us? The basic idea of it here seems to be that Moshe is rejecting the notion, because he understood the mentality of the Egyptians. That, well, either you could say that because they worshipped the sheep, and they would see the Jews involved, that's the abomination. The Jews would be involved in slaughtering what they regarded as a deity. Even though, when it came time for the Jews to leave, and the Jews separated the sheep for the Korban Pesach, that's precisely what they did do. However, the point is being made that perhaps that was a little bit later, that there was a process going on, and it took a while, and the succeeding plagues had the effect on changing the whole attitude of the Egyptians towards the Jews. So by that time, they had too much awe, too much fear of the Jews to interfere with them. But perhaps at this time, it wasn't the case. That moment hadn't arrived. And therefore, it wouldn't be good. Of course, what's a little bit strange about this dialogue is that it seems that Paro was giving them permission to do it. He's the one with the power. And Moshe is saying that it won't be feasible. Now, Paro, of course, could have said that he knows his country, and if he gives the decree, if he gives the order, then he can give them the security. However, I don't think we have to delve into that. We can understand Moshe's answer as saying that it's just not an appropriate situation. That is to say, we can't get into the particulars. But in order to serve God properly, a person has to be free of any type of a distraction. Now, perhaps with idol worship, it's a different story. You just go through the motions. The mind is not involved. But our service of God is something else. It's being involved in certain ideas. And the sacrifice itself is only reflective of certain concepts and ideas and that the person has to think about and has to internalize. So that's something which is totally different. That requires a certain kind of an atmosphere of peace. And you, even if you have the king sends guards to surround you from people that want to stone you, the very fact that there are people that want to stone you has an effect upon your mind. So it's not the right atmosphere. That could have been the point at issue over here. The power is saying, I'll provide security and nobody will harm you. Moshe is saying that doesn't matter, that it's going to have an impact upon people. And as far as our concept of the service of God demands that we remove ourselves from this place. The place is not suitable. That's what Moshe is telling him. The place is not suitable. And Paro's concept of what is involved in religious services has nothing to do. We could not understand this. That it's a process which involves a person in transformation and different ideas and in contemplation. That's the essence of the service. For an idol worshiper, it has nothing to do with it. It's just going through the motions. And then Moshe says, Derech Shloshes Yomim, Nelech Bamidbar. We have to travel a distance of 3 days. Which also fits in with this idea. Not just to get out of Egypt, but to be sufficiently removed so that the people can achieve the proper focus and concentration. V'zavachnu L'Hashem Elokeinu. And then we can sacrifice to the Lord our God, Kasha Yomar Aleinu, as he says unto us, that our idea of serving God is different. It's an obedience to the command of God. This seems to have its effect on Paro. So Paro accepted this idea. Vayoma Paro, and Paro said, Anochi Ashalach Eschem, I will send you. Uzvachtem L'Hashem Elokechem Bamidbar, and you will sacrifice to the Lord your God in the Midbar, in the desert. Rak Harchek Lo Sarchiku L'Leches. But don't go too far away. Hatiru Badai. Entreat from me. Now he's talking about entreating to remove the plague. We turn to the Eben Ezra on 24. And he says that the word Hatiru, entreat from me, should have come before. The order is reversed. Before he said, do not go too far, do not travel too far. Because the meaning of entreat for me is to say, entreat for me, and remove this plague. And then I'll send you out to sacrifice in the wilderness, as you've said. Only on the condition that you do not go further than the distance of 3 days. Then in the next pasuk, Moshe says that he's going to leave him now and go and pray to God, entreat God. And the orov, the animals, will be removed from Paro and his servants tomorrow. Then he warns him, he cautions him, Rak al Yosef Paro Hoseo. The Paro should not continue to be unserious, to make a joke out of this. Lavilti shalach esam, not to break his word, not to keep his word, to send the people out, lizboach l'Hashem. So, the way it seems to be, that confirms the Eben Ezra. The order seems to be that first Moshe will entreat, Moshe will deliver on his guarantee, his obligation. He'll remove the plague. Then it's up to Paro. That's why Moshe's warning him. I'll do all that. But he's warning him not to kid around, so to speak. Not to make a joke out of this. Then it says that the Moshe went out from before Paro and he entreated God. And God did according to the word of Moshe. And God removed the animals from Paro and his servants and from his nation. There was not left even one. And Paro hardened his heart also in this time, and he didn't send that to people.